You are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year, from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I'll be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations, available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 52, and in this episode, we'll continue reading from Volume 1. Today, we will read section number 3 of Jesus Begins His Public Teaching. 3. Jesus in Hebron, Dothan, and Nazareth. When Jesus arrived at Hebron, he left there his companions, saying that he was desirous of visiting a friend. Zachary and Elizabeth were no more. Jesus then went to the wilderness which lay to the south of Hebron, between it and the Dead Sea, whither Elizabeth had taken the boy John. To reach it, one had to climb a mountain covered with white pebbles, and then cross a lovely valley of palm trees. I saw Jesus entering the wilderness and going into the cave to which John was first taken by Elizabeth. Then he crossed a little brook, over which John also had passed. I saw him alone and in prayer, as if preparing for his teaching mission. When he left the desert, he went again to Hebron. I saw him as he journeyed, leading a helping hand everywhere along the road. At the Dead Sea, he helped some people who were on a kind of raft form of beams and covered by an awning. On it were men, cattle, and merchandise. Jesus called to them and shoved a plank out to them from the shore. He helped them to land and stood by while they repaired their raft. They were at a loss as to who he was. For though there was nothing remarkable in his dress, yet his charming graciousness and dignity of bearing greatly impressed up them. At first they thought it must be John the Baptist, who had already made his appearance at the Jordan. But they soon discovered their mistake, for John's complexion was brown, much darker than that of Jesus, and his whole appearance rough. Jesus celebrated the Sabbath in Hebron, and there dismissed his traveling companions. He visited the sick in their homes, consoling and assisting them in every way. He raised them in his arms, carried them, and made their beds. But I did not see him curing anyone. To all, he appeared to be benevolent, a wonderful person. He visited the possessed, and they grew calm in his presence. Though as yet he drove no evil and no devil out, wherever he went, he rendered aid when aid was needed. He raised the fallen. He refreshed the thirsty. He guided the traveler over bridge and brook, and all looked in astonishment upon the kind-hearted wayfarer. From Hebron, he went to the spot where the Jordan flows into the Dead Sea. Here he crossed the river in a boat and journeyed along its eastern bank to Galilee. I saw him traveling on between Pella and the country of Gergesa, making short journeys and helping all in need. He went to all the sick, even to the lepers, consoling them, raising them in his arms, making their beds, exhorting them to prayer, and pointing out to the admiration of all what treatment was necessary, what remedies to use in different cases. At one place, some people knew of the prophecies of Simeon and Anna, and they questioned him as to whether he was the one to whom they referred. It was a common thing for people to follow him from one place to another out of the love he inspired. The possessed were calm when near him. He went also to the rapid little stream that flows into the Jordan below the Sea of Galilee, the Hieromax, not far from that steep mountain from which he subsequently cast the swine into the sea. Near the river stood a row of little mud huts, like shepherd's huts, which were occupied by the men who were at that moment on the shore laboring at their barks. They could not succeed in their work. I saw Jesus go up to them, make some suggestions in a friendly way, drag a beam to the spot, and put his hand to the work. He pointed out various expedients, and as he worked, exhorted them to patience and charity. After that, I saw Jesus in Dothan, a scattered little place northeast of Sepphoris, and in which there was a synagogue. The inhabitants were not bad, though very much neglected. Abraham had once owned fields there for his cattle, intended for offerings. Joseph and his brethren used to guard their flocks in this same region. And it was here that the former was sold. Dothan, at the time of our Lord, was but a sparsely settled place, but its soil was good, and its meadows extended down to the Sea of Galilee. It contained a large building like a madhouse, in which many possessed lived. On Jesus' arrival, they became perfectly furious and dashed themselves almost to death. The keepers could not bind them. Jesus entered and spoke to them, and they became quite calm. He addressed to them a few more words, after which they quietly left the house and repaired to their several homes. The people were amazed at what they saw. They were unwilling for Jesus to depart, and one of them invited him to a marriage feast. I saw all the wedding ceremonies as at Cana. Jesus was liked an honored stranger at the feast. He spoke wisely and graciously, giving the bride and groom good advice. They afterward joined the disciples when Jesus appeared upon Thebes. When Jesus returned to Nazareth, he went around among his parents' acquaintances, but he was everywhere coldly received. When he sought to enter the synagogue in order to teach, they turned him away. Then he repaired to the public marketplace and spoke of the Messiah to the crowd, of whom some were Sadducees, others Pharisees. He told them that the Messiah would be different from what each one's ideas pictured. John the Baptist, he called the voice in the wilderness. Two youths, clothed in long garments and wearing girdles like priests, had followed Jesus from the country of Hebron. But they went out always with him. Jesus kept the Sabbath in Nazareth. After that, I saw Jesus and Mary. Mary Cleophas, the parents of Parmenas, and all about 20 persons, leave Nazareth and go to Capernaum. They had with them asses laden with baggage. The house in Nazareth had been cleaned and adored. It was so well arranged that with its rich hangings, it reminded me of a church. It was left unoccupied. The third husband of Mary Cleophas and some of her sons still carried on business in Anne's abode, and they took care of that house of the Holy Family. Mary Cleophas, with her youngest sons, Joses, Barsabbas, and Simeon, dwelt at this time quite near to the small house, not far from Capernaum, which Levi had fitted up for the Lord, and the parents of Parmenas lived at no great distance. Jesus journeyed again from place to place and appeared chiefly where John had been when he left the desert. He entered the synagogue and instructed, he consoled and relieved the sick. When he taught in the synagogue of a certain little town and spoke of John's baptism, of the coming of the Messiah, and of penance, the people murmured. They mocked him. And I heard some of them say, 3 months ago his father, the carpenter, was still alive. Then he worked with him, Now he has traveled a little, and back he comes to impart to us his wisdom. Jesus went also to Cana and taught. He had relatives there whom he visited. At this time, he was not yet accompanied by any of his future disciples. It looked as if he were studying men and building up the foundation that John had laid. Sometimes a good man accompanied him from place to place. Once I saw four men, among them some of his future disciples, on the high road between Samaria and Nazareth. They were in a shady place waiting for Jesus, who, with one companion, was coming that way. When he arrived in sight, they set forward to meet him. They told him that they had been baptized by John, and that he had spoken of the near coming of the Messiah. They told him also of John's severe language toward the soldiers, only a few of whom he had baptized. Among other things, he had said that it would be better to take the stones out of the Jordan and baptize them rather than such as they. I saw these disciples of John walking on with Jesus. Jesus then went along the Sea of Galilee, toward the north. He spoke very plainly of the Messiah. In many places, the possessed cried after him. Out of one man he drove a devil, and he taught in the schools. Six men who were coming from the baptism of John met Jesus. Among them were Levi, known later as Matthew, and two sons of the widowed relatives of Elizabeth. They all knew Jesus, some through relationships, others by hearsay, and they strongly suspected, though they had no assurance of it, that he was the one of whom John had spoken. They spoke of John, of Lazarus, and his sisters, especially of Magdalene. They supposed she had a devil, for she was already living apart from her family in the castle of Magdalum. These men accompanied Jesus and were filled with astonishment at his discourse. The aspirants to baptism going from Galilee to John used to tell him all that they knew and heard of Jesus, while they that came from Ainon, where John baptized, used to tell Jesus all they knew of John. Jesus went alone to the sea, passing through a fence into an enclosed fishery, where lay five ships. On the shore were several huts for the accommodation of the fishermen. Peter, the owner of this fishery, was in one of the huts with Andrew, John, and James, with their father Zebedee, and several others were on the boats. In the middle one was Peter's father-in-law, with his three sons. I once knew all their names, but now I have forgotten them. The father was surnamed Zelotes, because he had gained his point in a dispute with the Romans concerning the right of navigation on the lake. There were about 30 men on the boats. Jesus went along the shore by the fenced-off way between the huts and the boats, speaking with Andrew and the others. I know not whether he spoke to Peter. They did not know him yet. He spoke of John and of the near coming of the Messiah. Andrew was already a baptized disciple of John. Jesus told them that he would come to them again. This brings us to the close of our reading today, and now we reflect upon this brief passage that we have read today. It's almost as if what we heard today, it's kind of like that hunger for the hidden years. We didn't get stories of Jesus at age 20 or 25, but here he is beginning his public ministry, and we're getting a few stories and such that aren't in the scriptures, kind of filling in some void. Now, when we look at the scriptures, everything that is written in the Gospels, that is what was determined to be necessary for our salvation. That is the public revelation. This is filling the gap. It wasn't necessary for our salvation to know these things. And so Anne Catherine Emmerich helps to maybe fill in some of those areas where maybe we have curiosities. A little bit about the person of Jesus and his perception. People perceiving him as a good person. People seeing how kind and generous he was. And some people beginning to put the pieces together. Well, maybe he's the one that they prophesied about. How powerful it was to hear about how the presence of Jesus calms people. Individuals who are possessed by demons and the evil one. Jesus isn't driving them out as of yet at the end of the reading today, but at the beginning, he isn't driving them out. But his very presence calms the individuals. We'll parallel that with our experience of the faith. I don't know a person who walks into the church and spends time before the Blessed Sacrament who doesn't say they experienced a great calm. Well, that's Jesus putting to rest everything that's worrying us. That's Jesus putting to rest all of those things. So, we seek out the presence of Christ, especially when we need to grow calm in his presence. And then, as the reading continues, we heard about Jesus attending a wedding. This isn't the famed wedding of Cana yet. She says, I saw all the wedding ceremonies as at Cana. Jesus was like an honored stranger at the feast. Imagine a stranger showing up. This is God himself. He spoke wisely and graciously, giving the bride and groom good advice. Don't you wish you knew what that good advice that Jesus gave was? Maybe that's what we simply sit with. Maybe as we pray after this episode today, Lord, what advice did you give that couple, and what advice are you giving me? After we read and listen to the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation, should move us to some sort of prayer with the Lord, conversing with him, and maybe that's the point to sit with and ponder with today. And then there was, at the very end of our reading today, there's the encounter with some of the people that will become the apostles. We hear of Matthew and Peter and James and John and others. But I thought what was interesting here was the aspirants to baptism going from Galilee to John used to tell him all that they had heard of Jesus, while they that came from Aenon, where John baptized, used to tell Jesus all they knew of John. John is the precursor. Jesus is learning about what John is doing, and John is learning what Jesus is doing, and Jesus knows that John is preparing the way for him, and John knows that he's preparing the way for the Lord. John knows that Jesus is greater than he, and so just kind of a beautiful little anecdote or little story, again, envisioning it, imagining it, just to dwell with. Well, what are they telling John? Well, what's Jesus hearing about John the Baptist? Was John the Baptist a miracle worker? Was he just baptizing? What did the two learn about each other from others? This brings us to a close of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. Please share this podcast with others. Share it with your family, text it to your friends, send a message out to your prayer group, let them know you're listening, and encourage them to join you so that you can have holy conversations with them about these writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.